Hey, this is Derek Davis from Babylon AD, and you're watching CMS TV.
From their Call of the North release, that is Frozen Crown.
Are you familiar? I have everything they've ever. No.
The name of that tune there is called Now or Never. And that one goes out by request to Joshua Apkin.
Okay.
And just before that, we heard Gramophone. How about that? Does that ring a bell?
Got the greatest hits sitting right here. Here's the tape.
Yeah, we heard Gramophone with. Time to Strike, that one going out by request to Skippy.
Okay.
And just before that, we heard Vandenberg, House on Fire. And that went out by request to Mark Russell.
Okay.
So people checking in all over the place and getting in their requests. So that always helps me out, makes my job easy to pick out a bunch of tunes and play them for you.
That's right. Makes it more gooder, right?
Yeah. Get a little diversity and inclusion and equity going on here on the CMS, because we're big, big believers in that.
I don't know. Somehow I'm thinking that every single musician you just played was very whitey white.
I don't think there's any inclusion going on in that segment.
Well, we were including all kinds of different bands.
Yeah, we're including whoever those people like, but
exactly.
I don't think there were any Chinese guys or Swedes or anything in that collection. No, there might have been Swedes.
There might not have been any Swedes in there, but you never know.
There might be traditional Swedes in there, but right, not
probably.
Not the Swedes we're talking about.
Highly likely traditional Swedes.
I would say Frozen Crown sounded like it might have some traditional Swedes in it.
Right, exactly. All right. So we're back. And so you wanted to talk about a documentary you saw or what?
Yeah. Let me ask you this first.
All right.
Do you believe that there is a time when if a kid gets your gun, like from your house, and goes up and shoots up a school?
Yes.
Parents, What's their liability?
Well, if their kid is under 18, I would think that their liability is 100%.
Do you think it should be?
Yes.
You think it should be?
Yeah, I think you should be culpable for whatever your kid does.
Okay. Even if you don't know, like you're at work and your kid goes.
The thing is, gun ownership is a very tricky thing, especially in this highly charged society that we live in that looks at gun ownership as the boogeyman of everything. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not the legal gun owners out there shooting up the streets and, you know, doing the violence, especially in a city like Chicago or any other major city, be it LA or Philadelphia or New York or wherever gun violence happens. It's not legal gun owners like myself or like yourself out there shooting up the place and doing drive-bys.
Right.
It's people who've gotten guns illegally, stolen, whatever the case may be, that have zero regard for the law anyway. Legal gun ownership is not even a thought. Nobody goes, I legally own this gun, but I'm going to go down the street here and do a drive-by. You know, legal gun owners don't do that.
No, but their kids do.
Well, their kids do. So here's the bugaboo of owning firearms and having children in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way of preventing your young person from getting access to firearms? I would imagine if you have them locked up, you're good.
Okay.
Have them locked up in a gun safe. That's one way of doing it. But can a kid break into a gun safe or know how to open it or whatever the case may be? Probably. Could be. Sure. Are they capable? Yeah, they're capable.
Well, not only that, too. Most of the time, the password is the same as like the Netflix password on your, or the computer password or whatever. So, that's where it gets to be a mess.
Right. So I guess if you have a distrust of your kid or don't feel that your kid is reliable or trustworthy to respect the guns, you might have to take extra measures in the house to make sure that they don't get access to them, I guess.
Sure.
I don't think anybody consciously goes, man, my kid's going to be out of control and get a hold of my gun while I'm out of the house.
Boy, are you playing into my hands? Well, keep going.
You know, and I'm just trying to put myself in that position. I mean, I know where my guns are, and I know who has access to them. Me,
mm-hmm. Right?
And that's it. You know, I don't have to worry about that. But people who own guns and have other people living in the house, whether it's their own child or a roommate or a spouse or a live-in or whomever. I guess you have to think that way. Like, boy, sure. Can I trust this person who also shares my residence not to put their sticky little fingers on that gun?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And therein lies knowing who you're dealing with, I guess.
Sure. So, okay, let's say your kid goes and kills. Well, the exact example I'm going to give you. Kid goes and kills 4 students, injures 6 more. What would you think would be an appropriate sentence then for the parents? Parents, regular parents that just had a gun in the house.
I guess there would have to be an investigation as to, well, where was this gun? How did your child get it? What are the rules in your house where the gun resides? You know, did you teach them to respect firearms and not touch them? Or is this just laying out on the counter and you never had this discussion? I guess you would have to find out what the environment is where this gun was and how the kid got it and why he would think that he could take it to school and shoot up the place.
Okay. So are you familiar with this trial
in Michigan?
Yeah. The Crumblies.
Yes. Yes.
I was familiar with it. And I'm going to be honest. I was absolutely when I first heard about that, they were holding the parents responsible. I was 1,000% against it.
Okay.
I was, my initial reaction was the parents didn't do it. The kid acted on his own. He was like 16 or 17. I think he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's on the fucking kid. You know, you right. can't be everywhere for your kid.
Right.
Then I watched this documentary.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you up front, this documentary was done by ABC, and it leans all kinds of left.
Well, of course.
I mean, it leans.
Anything that's lamestream media is always going to be left-wing bias.
Yeah, always. And this leans tremendously to the left. That being said, these two parents, this is a great documentary, by the way. I will say that. This is a really, really good documentary.
And where can you see it?
Hulu.
Hulu. Okay.
Hulu.
All right.
That being said, these parents are 1,000% the reason why legal gun owners have problems.
Right.
I was... Just some of the stuff that they were doing was unbelievable. Like their kid, one of the things that their kid did was he made some comment about, or he was sitting in a classroom looking up bullets on his phone.
Okay.
And the kids, you know, the parents got called, and the mom texted the kid about, you got to be more careful not to get caught doing that shit.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God.
But you see, I've known people who were brought up in households that it's okay to do it. Just don't get caught.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, that's just wrong. If you're the type of parent who brings your child up with the attitude of, well, go ahead and do it. Just don't get caught.
Yeah. I mean, this was... And I'll take some umbrage with that. I guess if they're teaching you something in the school that you just don't believe in, pronouns, pronoun thing.
Right.
You know, you don't want your kid suspended for refusing to call some fucking dude ma'am because you need him to get through school.
Right, of course.
But just don't get caught. You know, that I could see just telling your kid, hey, just don't get caught. Just fucking play the game.
Right.
You know, you can believe whatever you can believe whatever you want in real life, but don't get caught with that in school on a small thing. Guns in today's environment? Absolutely not. Absolutely cannot have that. So these parents, first of all, they knew their kid was fucked up. Their kid had an assignment, like some kind of like geometry assignment or some shit.
Okay.
And he drew a whole bunch of like guns and stuff on it and wrote things like, I'm going to kill people, I'm going to kill you, and you know, all this crazy shit, right?
Right, right.
They call the kids in, or the parents, into the school.
Okay.
The parents refuse to take the kid home. The kid shoots up the school 4 hours later.
And what was their reason for refusing to take the kid home?
Said, he's just messing around.
Okay.
And then, you know, no sooner do they leave the school than he shoots up the school.
All right.
It's like, but these are the parents that are the problem for us legal gun owners.
Right. And now, did it get into where this gun is kept and how this kid got access to it or anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. The gun was only 4 days old.
Oh.
Because the parents bought it for the kid.
They bought him a handgun?
Yep. They bought him a gun. He paid for it. He paid for it, but he couldn't actually buy it. So they bought it for him 4 days before.
All right. Well, so
After the thing about him researching bullets came through.
Right, right, right. But the thing is, so did they purchase it using the father or the mother for the background check?
Yeah.
And then they just gave it to him.
Then they just, well, they were not real clear on how that went, but it was his gun. He paid for it.
Yeah, but
it was locked. It was in a case with no lock on it. Just okay. A regular old, you know, styrofoam, you know, the hard case with the foam inside it.
Yeah.
You know, it was easy to access. You know, I mean, the kid knew where it was, his gun.
Yeah, well, it's his gun, but legally it wasn't his gun.
No, legally it was not. Legally, was the parents' gun. It
belonged to whoever did the background check right. And bought it. And part of the background check is that you're not buying it for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they lied.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, so, of course. So the thing is whoever did the background check, whether it was the father or the mother, part of the background check is you have to certify that you are not purchasing this for someone else.
Yeah.
And clearly they were.
And they did.
And that's a federal charge right there.
Yeah. I wasn't astounded that the kid shot up his school. I was astounded at how bad a parents these two were.
Well, the thing is, the unfortunate thing is, and again, I have nothing to back this statement up. This is just my personal opinion, just from what I have witnessed.
Yeah.
Most parents these days are shitty parents. They shouldn't be having children.
Well, these two are two of them. These two are definitely two of them, because I could not. And again, they were more buddy parents than parents.
Right.
They tried to play it up like, oh, we're such a loving family. In court, they're trying to, oh, you know, we carve pumpkins together at Halloween and we do meals together, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, the school was telling them, hey, your kid's fucked up.
Right.
Talking about gun violence. Just leave him in school.
Sure.
The parents were like, we can't take off the rest of the day of work to take our kid home. And they shot up the fucking school.
Yeah, well, we've learned nothing from Columbine and
nothing.
You know, what transpired prior to that taking place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really astounding to me to see.
Okay.
Not because, and again, it's not astounding to see a kid shooting up a school. It's astounding to me to see the parents just so
lackadaisical.
Fucking and brazenly lackadaisical. Dude, the father's in court and he's making calls through the police thing, you know, through the jail.
Yeah.
Saying about how once he gets off on this, he's going to kill the attorney or the judge or somebody.
All right. Very good. Nothing like saying that on a recorded line.
Yeah. And they played it back. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. You know, I was like, holy shit, this is fucked up.
So, what is the gist of this discussion here for you? I mean, as far as like, you know, your first impression is that, you know, the kids should be held responsible. And now that you watch this documentary, are you in line with saying that these parents should pay the price?
Oh, yeah. I think the parents got off light with, they got 10 to 15 years. I think they got off really light. They should have got 10 to 15 for each kid killed.
Right.
And maybe 5 years for each kid hurt. They right. should have. They should have done life too, because they could have stopped. This is one case where there is concrete proof that it could have been avoided. They literally were in the school because the kid was fucked up hours before he shot up the school, and they refused to take the kid home.
All right.
And then 2 hours later, he shoots people. How could? I had so many questions watching this documentary. Like, for one, you got this kid, he's doing all this drawing and stuff, and, you know, I'm going to kill you and drawing guns and all this stuff. Nobody searches his shit, his locker, his book bag is, you know, he shot up the school an hour later. He didn't leave. He went back to his locker or whatever, got the gun and started shooting.
Right.
You know, I was like, holy fuck. How did that happen? And I blame the school on that one. How did the right. school, how does the school not make them take the kid home? That's the part for me that my thought would be, you either make the kids, you make the parents take the kid home, or you call the police, you know, for the safety of the kids, the other kids in the school. I don't know. I just was like, holy shit, and I came into it, I honestly came into it thinking this is going to be some fucking left-leaning bullshit that we can rip to shit on the show. I really did. That's why I watched it.
Right.
And I came out of it going, you know what? Fuck these parents. I hope they get fucking shanked in prison, because they make it more, people like this make it way more difficult for us legitimate, legal, acting legally gun owners. You know, this is the kind of shit that comes up in every fucking ad campaign. Every time stupid Puddinhead makes a speech about guns, he'll reference this now. We can't even trust parents not to buy guns for their kids. We got to take the guns away. Can you not hear that being said?
Well, of course. And, you know, what kind of parent purchases a handgun for their teenage kid?
Yeah, it was.
I got my first gun, it was a long gun. It was 22. I got that when I was 12.
Right.
But it wasn't a handgun. It was a rifle.
Right.
You know? And I was taught how to use it, and I would do target practice with it. I didn't get some big caliber gun. It was a 22. Not that that isn't, you know, dangerous or anything, but, you know, I learned to go to the target, do target practice with that.
Right.
And years ago, and I, you know, it's kind of funny because I've heard other, you know, guys talk about this on other various talk shows, but years ago, especially in Ohio, I went to grade school in Ohio, and a lot of the schools, I don't know about other states, I just know in Ohio it was a thing. We used to take our guns to school.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we had a gun club.
Right.
After school. Mm-hmm. And we would take our guns on the bus. You know, we would have it in our shoulder bag.
Yeah.
And you'd take your gun into school. You'd have your rifle with you. You'd take it to school, put it in your locker, and that's where it stayed. And nobody ever brought the gun out and started shooting up the school, you know. And then after school, you'd get your rifle out and you go to gun club and do your target shooting and all that shit. And I did that.
Yeah. You know,
in junior high school.
Yeah, I remember when hunting season was kicking off around here, and people would bring their guns to school because they were going hunting, or either they were going hunting after, or they had come from hunting before,
or they were in hunt club.
Yeah, or hunting club or whatever. Yeah,
they'd wear their orange vest and their have their license pinned on the back of their vest, and bring their shotgun with them or their deer rifle or whatever what was going on, whatever season it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would bring our guns to school all the time, and that never happened. Not sure. Even once.
Yeah. This is what the kid drew on his test.
Hey, he's a pretty good draw. He drew a pistol pretty well.
But
blood everywhere.
And then the parents said, just leave him. He'll be all right. He's just fucking around.
There should be no stop. Help me.
Yeah. Yeah, just leave him. My life is useless. Blood everywhere. I mean, holy shit. Come on. Clearly, this is one they should have forced. I don't want to sound like a left-leaning lunatic here. I really don't, and I hate
it. The chances of that ever happening is next to none. This is just talking about responsible gun owners or responsible parenting.
I mean, this is like, if this... I literally, help me. I've got a gun. I'm going to shoot and kill people. Blood everywhere. Help me. Right. Just leave him in school. Fuck. He's just teasing.
Right.
Fuck out of here, man. He's just
kidding around.
He's just fucking around. I can't leave. I can't leave work to take him out of school.
Sure.
And where's the school to say, all right, well, you're sitting in a fucking room by yourself for the rest of the day or something. How do they not lock this kid down? The fuck?
Yeah, it's not like Jonah Hill and Superbad just drawing dicks all the time.
Yeah, I just you got to watch this documentary. It was amazing.
Well, I'll definitely watch that tomorrow.
It was amazing to me to see how everybody failed. Everybody failed. The school failed. The parents failed. The kid obviously failed. What are you supposed to say? You know, the mother in the court's like, oh, I wish he would have shot me. No, that's not the answer. The answer is, and then it comes out, part of it came out that she was never there because she was fucking some other guy. And
all right.
Well, so she was, instead of raising her kid, she was out riding horses with the other guy that she was fucking.
Dysfunctional household.
Just a fucking mess.
Right.
And like I said, the dad on the phone in jail talking about he's going to kill somebody. So he was obviously a good role model to this.
Well, there you go. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree now, does it?
No, but yeah, I watched this documentary and was just like, my God, we are just doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Just doomed. And if you can't see this and not know that there's a problem, you're fucked. As a guidance counselor, as a parent, as a anybody. If you saw this, dude, you have never raised a kid in your life. If you saw this, that wouldn't raise flags for you? From anybody. Not even a kid, from a grown-up.
Right.
If you were at your job on Monday and you saw this on some coworker's desk, would that make you be like really watching that guy at a minimum?
Of course.
You wouldn't take your eye off him, right?
It's like, oh, what's going on with this kid?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, holy shit. And they're just like, yeah, we're not taking him out. I can't miss work. then the father, you'll die when you see this documentary. The father calls, like, he hears on the news or something that there's a school shooting.
Yeah.
So he calls the police and says, I checked and my gun is missing.
Oh.
He knew. He absolutely knew his kid. I mean, it's too late at that point, but
how come he didn't say, I checked and my son's gun is missing?
Yeah, he should have, because that was the way it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was something else, man. It was just crazy. So in any event, that's that documentary, Sins of the Parents. It's on Hulu. It's
definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's well worth the watch.
Sure.
It definitely is. So.
Well, in a related story, I sent you over something.
All right. Let me.
You talk about astounding. And I saw this earlier this week, and this happened in this shithole known as Chicago.
Is it the first one you sent or the second one?
It's the video there if you see it.
I didn't click the video. I was just looking in the email. I guess it's not that one.
The college thing.
All right. The Yahoo one.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I got it.
Yep. So here in the city of Chicago, as our good friend Jericho Green calls it, America's shooting range.
Right.
Look at this video. This happened on the University of Chicago campus.
Okay.
Watch this guy down here in the lower right corner.
This guy.
Watch him.
All right.
Watch what happens and watch him.
All right. Let's see.
Go ahead. So here's a chick walking along, going to class. So this guy comes out of nowhere and he pulls a gun on her, and she's wrestling the gun away from this guy.
And this faggot doesn't move. Guy,
just sitting there, just watching it like
he's watching TV. Like a,
he's just sitting there watching it like he's watching TV.
What a bitch.
Look at this. He's not, no reaction at all. He's a, hey, yeah, whatever.
Jesus. Did he get in trouble? Did he get like, isn't that against the law to let that happen?
Is that the Good Samaritan law? Yeah,
I think it is, right? I think
they're going to hold that, that guy.
He is white.
Yeah. Okay.
He is white.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there like a fag.
So, you know, the guy got away. The guy with the gun got away. Police in Chicago are searching for a suspect who tried to rob a college student at gunpoint.
Right.
And the guy just sitting there just watching the whole thing happen.
Right. He got detention.
Yeah, exactly. but this is the society we live in.
People are right. He probably would have gotten in trouble for stepping in.
Right.
Gave that guy a bruise or something. They'd say, beating a black man.
Right. But the weird thing is he had zero reaction. If you thought that there was like danger of getting shot, maybe some cowards would get up and run away or run the other direction or something. This guy just sat there calmly on the grass, just watching this whole thing unfold and did nothing.
Hey, cool. Something to see.
Yeah.
Let's see how this plays out.
Like it happens every day. This is just something that happens every day. This college student, this fellow college student is getting, accosted by a guy with a gun and she's fighting him off, grabbing the gun away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And this other guy just sitting there just like,
could.
But I don't think the guy who was trying to rob the girl was a Swede.
Well, those Swedish people are everywhere, man. You never know.
Yeah.
What would Chris and Neely do?
I would have just jumped up and jumped right in the middle of that.
At least yell at him or something at a minimum. Hey, what do you fucking do? You know, something. I mean, I probably would have jumped in it too. And you know, if I get shot, you get shot. I mean, that's part of the game.
I mean, while she had her hand on the gun, look at if you look at that video real quick, again, if you can pull that up,
let me pull it back up.
She literally had her hand on the gun.
And this fruit doesn't. doesn't help at all. Ugh. Dude, we're just doomed.
I know.
These are the people that have to step up and fight if there's an actual war.
That'll never happen.
Holy smokes, Chinese will just come walking. Now,
if you scroll down on that video, go to the second one there. The news reporter, that one there. You can hear what she has to say about it.
All right, well, let's do that. Blow that up.
Police in Chicago are searching for a suspect who tried to rob a college student at gunpoint. The crime was caught on camera as the suspect and the student wrestled for the gun. ABC's Ike Ajachi is here now with the details. Good morning, Ike.
Good morning, Gio. It was a stunning moment. The suspect is seen snatching the victim's phone until she says her fight response kicked in. This morning, a brazen robbery attempt captured on a fraternity security surveillance in broad daylight on the University of Chicago campus. Just before 3 p.m. Wednesday, a student who goes by Maddie seen walking down the street, several witnesses around, when the suspect approaches her.
I was walking and there was a man in a ski mask approaching me.
But then watch as the suspect tries to grab Maddie's phone. That's when she fights back.
He flashes the gun at me, and we end up getting into a tussle.
Minutes later, the University of Chicago Police Department responding to two other armed robberies around campus, both involving multiple armed suspects getting out of cars and demanding property.
And this is a very popular block for students on campus. It's for something like this to happen in broad daylight.
The string of robberies at the university come as campus crime across the country reverts back to pre-pandemic levels, with criminal offenses up nearly 35% since 2020, according to the Department of Education.
That situation probably shouldn't have gone my way, but I'm happy I do have the footage and kind of get the film out there so that maybe we can catch the perpetrators.
Back on campus, Maddie, thankful she wasn't hurt.
I would never advocate for resisting an armed robbery. It's incredibly dangerous, and my instincts just told me in that moment to fight for what was mine.
Now, the University of Chicago Police Department.
So I would never do that, except I did.
Well, my good sense tells me I shouldn't have done that, but my instinct said, beat this fucking guy's ass.
Yeah.
He's taken my phone, and that's like where all my friends are at. And like, I can't like have that, you know, taken away from me.
Yeah. I don't know. That's too funny. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I'll put this up here. Just for you, Rage. No, we're not going to play some tunes. Suck a dick. How about that?
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk longer.
Yeah. All right. So play the rest of that, whatever this is.
All right.
Has increased its presence on campus with more officers patrolling on foot and in cars, even providing safety escorts for students. University police is also working with city police to catch the suspects. Janae?
I think so many people wonder what they would do in that situation. We see what she did. Ike, thank you.
Thanks, Ike.
Well, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, I know.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, what a mess. What a mess.
In the days since Iran launched an attack on Israel.
You can't even, you know, you can't even go to school since we're talking about school shootings and this, that, and the other. The reason, you know, the cops weren't there is because they were responding to other armed robberies going on at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. If you live in that city, you need to have your head examined, man. What a fucked up place that is.
Dude, but they're all turning into that. That's the saddest part about it. They're all turning into that.
Yep.
You know, it's going to get worse now that you're moving all these fucking immigrants into all these goddamn cities.
No, they're newcomers.
No, they're not. They're illegal aliens.
They're newcomers, Chris.
Not newcomers to me. They're fucking criminals.
Come on, you're being very harsh.
Yes, I am. I don't want fucking criminals being bust into my neighborhood. You're goddamn right I'm being harsh. Fuck that.
Why are you being so unkind?
Because I'm not a kind person. There's no law says I have to be. Is there a law says I got to be nice?
Right.
Don't think so.
Well, since crime is on the uptick, since we're talking about crime and stuff, I just shot you over something else here. This is amazing to me too, is the brazenness of criminals these days. So what's going on, especially at these big box stores like Home Depot?
Mm-hmm.
People are stealing their heavy equipment from Home Depot rental department. They're selling it on Facebook.
Oh, that seems good. Good idea.
Home Depot's rental department continues to battle the theft of its heavy equipment and schemes where suspects sell the machinery on sites like Facebook Marketplace.
Good idea.
Earlier this month, federal prosecutors in Oregon brought charges against a group of seven defendants, accusing them of conspiring in a scheme in which they sold heavy machinery from Home Depot by renting it and then not returning it. According to the indictment first reported by Court Watch, members of a group, wonder what group that was it the Swedes?
Probably.
They would go to the retailer's rental desk at locations in Oregon, Washington, and Colorado to borrow the equipment using stolen credit card and debit card information. Geez, what a surprise.
Stunning.
Prosecutors also said the defendants would often use their real driver's license for a required identification. You talk about dumb criminals, huh?
Yeah, they are.
But rather than return the equipment, the defendants instead sold it on Facebook Marketplace and other online platforms, according to the court documents. Right. In each instance, the equipment was borrowed under a one-day rental. GPS tracking devices were disabled, and then the items were listed for sale on Facebook.
Good.
The thefts bear a striking resemblance to several cases in the past year, one in Washington and two in Florida. In one, Florida prosecutor sentenced a man to 8 years in prison for leading a crime ring that rented more than 60 pieces of heavy equipment, such as trenchers, stump grinders, and excavators, which were never returned, costing Home Depot more than $1 million. Officials said he, too, used his actual ID when borrowing the equipment, the local Fox affiliate reported. And just last month, Florida's attorney general brought charges against another man in a striking similar scheme that involved 21 pieces of equipment and cost Home Depot more than $460,000.
Yeah, but why are they closing them in my town? Why are they closing Home Depot in my town?
Right. Beyond the rental desk, Home Depot and other retailers have been raising the alarm in recent years over theft, which has cost the industry an estimated $41 billion in 2022.
Right.
$41 billion, that's with a B.
Yeah, that's a little bit to pay.
In response to the shoplifters, Home Depot, improvement retailer in particular, has turned to measures including locking up displays and power tools that won't work unless they've been activated at purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So because you lock up the displays, I guess that's racist.
Yeah. Very racist. You can't do that.
Right. So what do you think the uptick in all this crime is over the last, say, decade? What do you attribute that to? Is it lack of...
there's no consequence for one thing. Lack
of consequences. That's kind of what I was looking for.
Yeah. There's no consequence. I mean, what's the big deal now? You just steal. I mean, they're setting limits that you're allowed to steal, for God's sake. Yeah, you can steal up to a grand.
Right.
No penalty if you steal it. Me and Seth talk about this on the show all the time. We're the dummies. They're not going in. We should just go to the grocery store and take whatever the fuck we want. We really should.
Right.
We should just walk into the grocery store, load it with $200-$300 worth of groceries and say, fuck you. I'm not paying for it.
Yeah. I'm wheeling this right out of here.
Yeah. Go suck a dick. I'm fucking taking it.
Stop me, man.
Yeah. Well, they can't. They're all told not to stop you.
Yep.
You know. There's a part of me that wishes that I didn't have that fucking morality piece that in my stomach that makes me know that I'm doing something wrong.
No, you're just a good person. I mean, you were raised the way you're supposed to, you know.
I wish I wasn't. I wish I was an asshole. I'd have a lot more money if I would just steal and rob and shoot and kill. I'd have a lot more going for me. I really would. So would everybody. Look at. There's no penalty for this shit. Home Depot's like, yeah, just write it off, and you guys will pay for it, and fucking.
Yeah, we'll just raise our prices, and yeah. Everybody else will have to just, you know, foot the bill.
Yeah. You dummies that are still paying for this shit, you're going to pay three times as much for a fucking bandsaw now. You know, that's your guys' fault for not stealing it yourself.
Right, exactly.
That's really the attitude that they go at it with now. We'll just fucking write it off and raise the prices. It's fucked up.
I don't like racism. Thank you. I don't get it. Why would you hate? Why would you choose to hate? Why would you choose to hate an entire group of people just because of the way they all behave?
That's funny.
So what else you got? Anything to round out this segment with the guns and the lawlessness and the hate and the?
No, I mean the guns was the thing. That is funny from Heidi in there that I've argued that I'm not a good person. I have been a fucking scumbag at times. I wish I was more of one.
Right.
I wish I still did. Back then I didn't have, and again, I was young. I was, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. And yeah, even into my 20s when I was fighting all the time and stuff, maybe even into my 30s.
Military.
Yeah, I mean, I was a fucking criminal of some sort.
You were a rabble rouser.
Yeah. But I did some criminal shit. I mean, not like felonious, I guess, but some of the knocking out cab drivers for fucking, instead of paying $3 fares and shit, was pretty shady.
You played the knockout game?
Yeah, I did. And dude, I used to do that all the time when I was in Korea. We would have a cab. We would take the there was what were known as AFIS cabs, and those were allowed on the base, but they cost more. And then there was just like bullshit cabs, which was just, you know, some dickhead with a car.
Yeah, some independent guy.
Yeah, but they would drive you up to the gate, and they couldn't go through the gate. So we would get up to the gate. They'd drop everybody off. Everybody get out of the car. I'd be like fumbling around in my pocket like I was looking for money or some shit like that. And then I would just fucking rear around and boom, hit him in the fucking side of the head and then run through the gate holding my ID and run, you know, because I knew he couldn't get through the gate. I did that a lot. Not super proud of those moments, but I did it 20 times or so.
Alan Kilcaller, you're on the air.
Boys, let's have a look at the gun situation from an Aussie angle.
Oh, look at this. It's Aussie Ace.
Hey, Oz.
How are you guys?
Good.
Aussie, I see you still got that breathing problem. Still haven't gotten that under control.
Who? Me?
Yeah, you.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Anyway, on the gun thing, I've got a couple of little gun-related things. Number one, when I first arrived in LA and arrived at my mate's, Mark Tucker's house, we walked into the unit. He goes, immediately, I didn't even put my bag down. He goes, do you know how to use a gun? Right, I'll show you where it is. This is where it is. This is how you load it. Bang, bang. If any queer cunt comes to the door, just shoot him.
A queer cunt?
Well, what, you know, crazy.
And where was
crazy
that?
Crazy queer starts banging down on the door, whatever, bang, just shoot him.
And where was this, Ozzy? Where,
L.A.
This was right when I arrived in El Segundo, what was that, 96 or whatever.
Okay.
It was the first thing he like, had shown me when I walked in the house. Number two. He goes, oh, have you got 24-hour Walmarts over there? And I said, no, we don't. He said, well, we've got to go fucking to a Walmart at 2 in the morning. It's just a different spin out. We go there. Here's me and him in the toy aisle looking at action figures. And there's 2 8-year-olds in the gun section. And it's like, this is wrong.
two buddies at 2 a.m. in the morning at the 24-hour Walmart looking at
action. Yeah, two young kids there, like in the gun section, and me and him are in the, like, the action figure aisle.
Yeah, hey, Chris, next time I'm in town, let you and I go action figure shopping.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
But in saying that, too, over here you have those Nerf guns.
Yeah.
Every toy section here in Kmart, whatever, is got at least four rows of them bloody guns, you know, here. So they're getting practice on them.
Well, you're not allowed to have guns over there in Australia, right?
No, I mean, those the kids' toys play, the Nerf ones.
I'm talking about the real guns. You're not allowed to have
them. Oh, here, guns. It's no problem. $5,000, and I'll get you one tomorrow. Well,
but legally, you can't just have guns, right?
No, and to be honest with you, I've never applied for one or anything like that. I have been to a gun, you know, center with someone who's obviously registered and practicing, as you were mentioning before. But otherwise, it's just $5,000, and I can get it happening for you.
So, what do people have there to defend them, Ozzy? What do Ozzy? 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 What do people have over there to defend themselves?
Well, nothing. They're so fucking retarded here that it's, you know, if someone comes into your house and breaks in and you harm him, you're the fucker going to jail.
You might have to pick up your dingo by the tail and swing it around at him.
Oh. But what I was going to say was one of my favorite movies growing up was Class of 1984.
Okay.
Do you know that movie? And it had a young Michael J. Fox in it, and there was four gang guys, like, or a chick, and they were, like, running the school situation.
I'll have to take your word for it.
I don't know it either.
Oh, yeah. How could you not have seen it? I'm just thinking, and the main leader of the gang was, like, real talented piano player, and Michael J. Fox, and I can't think of the other actor's name. Oh, Roddy McDowell's in it, even.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, and I just remember hiring that out. And every time, like, I hear about school or Chicago or anything, you know, from that age, I was like, is that how the fucking schools are? Because it's, if you ever, hire it and watch it. It's a great movie.
All right.
And Michael J. Fox, he's a little fatty in it, actually. But, yeah, it's a fantastic movie, one that I found extremely hard to, I mean, you can download it, but I've never seen it on Blu-ray or DVD or anything like that. But here's another thing about the gun thing. So I'm coming home the other night from the city. I get the driver to take me from McDonald's, right? And I'm like, okay, grab the stuff, I'm yapping to him, get home, and I open it, and it's like, what the fuck is this? This is like a kiddie's meal. Like, well, you know, there was nuggets and nothing that I had ordered. And I was so fucking angry. I'm like, I'm going to get another cab and just go back up there. I thought, hold on, I'll ring them. So because it's your local one in your suburb or whatever, your area, there's a phone number directly to that store. So I ring it, thinking I'll ring them up and say, oi, I'll be up there to fucking pick my shit up, right?
Right.
And, I call that number up, and then it's ringing around. I'm thinking, oh, it's my local one because it came up on the pages or whatever. And I'm like, okay, bang. Then it diverts to a computer, of course, you know, a computer lady saying, oh, the store you're trying, you can't contact them. You need to call 1-300 if you've got a complaint. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the website to go to. We'll get back to you in 72 hours or some nonsense. And so I went to that and I typed in, and this is exactly what I typed in. I said, are you that fucking retarded up there that I've got a cab, I've had to get a cab through, and you fuck up my order? And it's not my responsibility to be checking in, also. I'm in a fucking cab and shit. And I'm like, I actually know how those kids that shoot schools and their things. I know how they feel, and I'm going to fucking do that.
It's over food.
I know how they fucking feel now. That's the mode I'm in now.
So you're for shooting people over food.
I just was like, it was that moment where you just go, I'm snapping. I'm having a fucking brain explosion.
He was angry.
Which you don't get away with here unless you're Aboriginal.
Yeah, he was.
You know, if you're Aboriginal and you have a brain explosion, that's fine. But if you're white, oh no, fuck no.
Can't have it if you're white, no.
But anyway, well, I was telling a couple of my mates and they're like, man, did the fucking cops come to your door? I said, fuck no. I didn't even get any a fucking reply.
Oh, yes.
You know, so, I mean, did you recently see on the news, not that I follow any of the fake news here, but there was, I think just last week, something or a guy here killed at Bondi Beach. Type in Bondi Beach, but I think he even fucking had to use a knife.
Oh, my God. Crocodile Dundee.
People or something, or eight. And I think a couple of priests.
Well, Jesus.
So.
As well, here it's all, fucking people, it's like all nonsense. Like, hey, fucking, what would Putin do? He's still fucking doing it, shooting people now. And our paper is on the front of some fucking turtle race.
Right.
Crazy.
Man, I'd shoot someone over a Vegemite sandwich myself.
Well, how are you going to fucking do your fucking ball bear, your wheel nuts and that? You grease it, you know?
Yeah, Neely.
You and grease then you it. Vegemite.
And then you Vegemite after you grease it, Neely.
Yeah.
Don't you know anything?
Yeah. I recall Neely saying once, oh, it tastes like fucking the grease when you're greasing the, you know, your wheels or something.
Yeah. What does it taste like?
It's like
one of the old episodes. So, sounds good, that documentary. I'll have to have a look at that, but that wouldn't surprise me in the States.
All right, Ozzy.
All right, Ozzy.
What happened to the kid?
Life in prison.
As well. What? I thought the parents got prison.
The parents got prison too, but the kid got life.
Okay. And look, it's the same problem here, and I agree completely with you. Parents today expect the fucking teachers to bring up their kids, literally.
That's right.
And there's no discipline here, none at all. None at all. There was a 16-year-old kid here who was jumping all these cars. He broke into this guy's house, opened his garage, which was like electronic or whatever, and I saw the quick interview of him. He clearly a fucking poofter. You know, he had the fucking, the whole faggotry, swishy, you know, voice. And he goes, oh, I was sitting in my house and I heard the roller door. And, of course, he was probably fucking too weak. And the young kid gets his Lamborghini, takes it out cruising, bang, bang, runs out of fuel, leaves it there, and that's it. And then, and he was 16. He's out next week, back at school.
Ah, the very next week. I can't believe it.
No discipline, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking another kid steals a car, drives it into someone's pool, just jumps out. I'm done here. Right, back to school tomorrow.
Just drove it right into the pool, huh?
Just drove it right into the pool.
Things are crazy in the land down under.
That's right.
Oh, man. Exactly. So, but anyway, on the whole gun thing. So he's right about with that. But is it more heavy there now with that whole gun thing, or who's pushing like for it to fucking change? Which it won't in the Constitution, surely.
Well, they're trying to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah.
They want us to be like you, Ozzy. They don't want us to have guns.
Even if they brought a law in, I can't see people like yourselves even handing them back. You know, people are going, fuck this, I'm not handing it in.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well, I suppose, I've never really Even though I was around when guns were, like, obviously, I don't even know when the law came in here and what have you, but I certainly don't know. I mean, me, I've got basically, if you walk in my house, within 2 seconds you'll hear this. Do you want to play a fucking game? You've got 60 seconds to choose which part of your fucking body you want to lose.
Well,
what's going to happen in that 60 seconds?
Well, you have to. You got to go, oh, well, the guy walked in and he stood on my rack, which hit that fucking thing there, and then that cut his fucking arm off.
So, wow.
Well, mate.
What game would you play?
Yeah.
What game would you play with him? Trivial Pursuit? Monopoly?
Trivial Pursuit?
Yeah. No.
What happens during that 60 seconds you gave him, Ozzy? Do you just have a stare down?
Well, you know, it's like that sure, okay, it's like you need to cut your finger off, put the finger in that container because it's going to throw the weight down so you'll be able to grab that fucking key and walk out of here.
Right.
You know?
So do you have a big machete there just in case, Ozzy?
I've got a big machete, I've got a fucking a baseball bat hanging from my garage door, which is open now, that's got barbed wire on it.
Ooh.
Wow.
I mean, unconscious that, like, I'm the enigma in mice anyway, but and I've got my big Trump flag out the front.
That'll tell them.
Hanging on the garage door. Trump, make America great again.
Make Australia great again.
Right.
Oh, fucking, oh. I honestly, at this stage, I fucking hate this country. Wow. I know it's strong words and that, but, you know, just with the whole fake-demic, the whole I didn't get a penny from the government, like, for my small business. Oh, no, fuck you. And, yeah, just that's basically how I feel. And, look, people say Australia's a great fucking country. Like,
who says that?
The people that say that are the illegal fucking immigrants and the abos. And the reason they say that is because they come here, it's free medical for them. Which, funnily enough, just last year, the medical system had to start going back to not free. And you got to pay some coin now. And that's because all these illegal immigrants. So to them, they're like, oh, fucking great. We get there, we get free legal, medical, they get free fucking money from the like for houses and to get going, and it is great weather and all that. Of course it's a great fucking country to them. For me, working here, paid taxes, you know, it's probably paid enough taxes to bring up half a dozen or a dozen fucking single mothers' kids and all that, and it's like, fuck you, we're not giving you nothing.
Right.
You know, and it's people like me that they need the tax from.
Yeah.
You got that fucking faggot in now, the weak fucking cunt they got in now currently or whatever. I've hopefully got everything timed to the point where once I launch in America next year and then Trumpy will be in and it'll all be good.
I hear you.
All right, Ozzy. Well, I think we're going to wrap things up here with you, bro.
Wrap it up, buddy. And I'll have to give you a call later on. But everything is happening with Taiwan. I've got samples. I'll be there certainly before.
Oh, good. Let's have a little business call. Why not?
Exactly.
All right, Ozzy. Always good to hear from you.
All right. Hail and kill.
Hail and kill.
Fuck you, pal. And go.
Fucking Ozzy.
He was a poofter.
He's a poofter.
He couldn't fight him off because he was too much of a weak faggot.
You got 60 seconds before we play a game. What? You've got 3 minutes before I do something to you, pal.
You just sit there and think about that for a minute, Pally.
You do that, I'm going to put up my dukes. Right. Let's go.
Jesus. It's like that little fighting Irish guy.
Yeah, the Notre Dame guy.
Exactly. Funny.
Fucking
awesome. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this segment.
Yeah, you. I'd say so. I think that's a good place to stop.
Ozzy. All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. We will come back for the sponsored segment of the CMS. Time to click over on the third link, Sal. The third link, Sal. That's where we're going to be.
See if you can figure it out, Sal.
Yeah. And all you rumblers and all you other folks, stay right where you're at. So I'll let you pick a tune there, Mr. Chris. So what should we play?
How about for Ozzy, how about Mr. Ego from Halloween?
All right. Halloween, Mr. Ego.
Yeah, Master of the Rings.
All right. Mr. Ego. There we are. Take me down. Mr. Ego, take me down.
There you go.
All right. Well, if you want to get a request in, send me a request@theclassicmetalshow.com, and I'll see if I can get something on there for you. But until then, let's enjoy some Halloween with Mr. Ego exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show. What's going on, everybody? Chris Aiken here from every show you've ever watched in your entire life. And I'm here to talk about every book that you should be reading in your entire life, including this one, Call Me Chris. It is my second serious book that I ever did. It is about my burn accident and my time getting through that. It's a real page turner. It's not the happiest read in the world, I will tell you that. It definitely deals with a lot of the anger and fear and all the other shit that I was going through at the time, but it is a cool book. And if you like the survivor story type stuff, this is the book for you, because I definitely tell in detail what happened to me and how I got through it. So check it out. Call Me Chris, available now at chrisaiken.net or on Amazon. Just look up Call Me Chris and my last name, or else you'll find 15 other ones. But if you look up Call Me Chris and Chris Aiken, you will find it. All right. Call Me Chris. It's a great book. Get it today.